morning, I want to give you an overview of InVoc and some label changes you'll see coming into 2008 already. A lot of work with university colleagues, as well as my Syngenta colleagues, has gone into this molecule over the last several years, and we do appreciate that. My thanks to Jason Sanders, and Les Glasgow, Eric Palmer, and David Black, Brad Mitten, Henry McLean, and Scott Martin, to mention a few. Obviously, we have a lot of other colleagues within the company that had data when we sit down and do these additions to the labels. Again, InVoc is a broad-spectrum herbicide for post-emergence and post-directed use in cotton. Controls a wide spectrum of weeds, including broadleaf sedges and grasses. Can be used across the gamut of our cotton varieties on the market today. And it can replace a glyphosate application. And we use this early in our label and terminology, Ken, back when we still had quite a bit of conventional cotton out there and such. But as we know now, InVoc as well as other modes of actions are used in conjunction with the glyphosate molecule in probably every application that we do. Again, it's trifloxy, sulfuron sodium, sulfonylurea herbicide, ALS inhibitor, 75 WDG is the way it's where it comes. Rate range is a tenth of an ounce to 0.25 ounces of product per acre, depending whether it's post or post-directed, with a four-tenths of an ounce use rate per acre per year. Applied in season to the fully expanded fifth leaf and above, over the top of post-directed, in fall is 90 days prior to cotton planting. It's only labeled on picker varieties, and I had a lot of farmers come by the booth on Wednesday and again on yesterday from the High Plains of Texas as well in Oklahoma. And they spoke really good about InVoc. Now, how exactly they got it out there, I'm not sure, but I know some of them have been experimenting, but because of the pH, the lack of rainfall, and some sensitivity in the stripper varieties, we have elected not to label it there. Residual activity is something that has always been there with InVoc, but we never really pushed it because we didn't want to get into the pre-market because of the injury potential that we did see pre-emerge to cotton. But when it's applied in crop, it will provide at least 14 days residual of a number of problem weeds, including red root, pigweed, common cocklebur, ivy and pitted morning glory, common ragweed, henbit, carpet weed, and large crabgrass. And also some data from the last 2 years where we did irrigate or have natural rainfall occurrences of at least a half inch. We did see really good control of palmer, amaranth, yellow nuts edge, and horse purslane. InVoc and Roundup Ready Flex Cotton, of course, with the varieties really going toward this direction. This is actual verbiage that you will see in 2008 on the InVoc label. In Roundup Ready Flex Cotton, InVoc at a tenth to 0.15 ounces per acre, maybe tanks mixed with Touchdown Total, Touchdown High Tech, or certain Roundup brands approved for use on Roundup Ready Flex Cotton from the 5 to 12 leaf stage up to 60 days PHI. InVoc is a PGR. I know a lot of the university guys have helped us out on this. It was very apparent early that with this chemistry, we knew the mode of action, knew we were stacking nodes, but we did not understand the benefit it was bringing to us. But with the test over the last couple of years, now we're ready to put this on the label and let the farmer understand this is a benefit to him. The InVoc can actually provide the equivalent growth regulator effect compared to 6 ounces of Mepaquat. In the past, a lot of this has been referred to as crop injury, where in fact it was a PGR effect, and we're working with the growers to make them aware of this actual benefit. Talk a little bit about the fall application information with InVoc. Again, broad spectrum control of tough winter weeds. Primarily got started with this on glyphosate-resistant horseweed. And it's done an excellent job in the tests that we've had and the few acres that we've had InVoc on. Of course, with commodity prices the way they are, no farmer in his right mind is going to put anything out there not knowing exactly what he's going to plant next year with the rotation restrictions we have on this product and other fall applied products on the market. These are some of the labeled weeds that we put on the Invoke label for the fall. A lot of work done through the university colleagues. Of course, the asterisk indicates the suppression. But most of our common winter weeds out there, we're really getting good control on. Apply a tenth of an ounce alone or a tank mixed with a burn down. Apply from early November through December for best results. We're targeting that really young germinated horseweed and then have a residual effect for horseweeds that's going to germinate in February and March. Application timing must be 3 months or 90 days prior to cotton planting. If horseweed and winter weeds are already emerged at time of application, one or more tank mix partners is recommended. Whether it's Gramoxone Ention, a glyphosate product, or synthetic auxin such as dicamba has worked very well. Surfactants, apply at least 0.25% non-ionic surfactant. If Invoke's tank mixed with a glyphosate product containing a surfactant, you do not need to add additional surfactants. And evaluate the need for additional adjuvant based on weed size and environmental conditions. I get calls every fall and throughout the year from our colleagues with our distributors. I won't name any names, but they have some excellent adjuvant systems that just are miracle workers. So if they want to put it with Invoke, they're more than happy to. As far as our fall applied burn downs. It can only be applied by ground. It does not have an aerial application. And numerous field trials suggest that fall application of Invoke a tenth of an ounce provides residual control of weeds through late March. Activation, half inch rain. Rotation is only to cotton 3 months after Invoke application. However, the caveat that's on the label as you would read it is if cotton crop is lost and no more than 0.15 ounces of Invoke has been applied, cotton may be replanted immediately. Also, STS soybeans or our corn can also be planted 30 days or more after that application, or 14 days if the significant rainfall event occurs. Going into top sown and drill wheat, soil and wind erosion, what I'd like to do is give you an overview of all the trials in the Southeast. Drew Ellis did an excellent job summarizing the data here in Tennessee. First, I'd like to talk about top sown. Again, many farmers in no-till areas, minimum till, sandy areas of Boot Hill, Missouri, West Tennessee, Northeast Arkansas, use a cover crop for soil and wind erosion control. As low as 25 bushels per 80 acres up to maybe a 1 bushel per acre, just depending, just enough there to hold it, and primarily soil erosion in West Tennessee. Thus, trials were established in 2006 to evaluate these objectives. Set this slide up. I'll have very limited data slides, but percent stunning on the y-axis. And on the x-axis will be your Invoke rates, 0.05, which is your half x rate, 0.1 and 0.2 ounces of Invoke. Before and after, before refers to Invoke being applied before the seeds are sown, and then Invoke being applied after the seeds are sown. So stunning here ranges about 20% at the 0.05 rate, and each one of the different colored triangles indicates a location in the Southeast in which that data point was taken. As you go to point one, you see we're up to about 40-45%, and then up to about 60% there at 0.2. I'm not real concerned about the stunning because at the end of the day, we want to come in and control the weed anyway with a glyphosate application. So if we don't have really tall mass of wheat, we have a better chance of controlling all of it at once. Stand reduction is what I really keyed in on. And again, it's very clear that the MBOK application, before you apply your top-sown wheat at the X rate or the half X rate, stand reduction is much lower. As you go into higher rates, our stand reduction increases. But again, as USDA recommendations say, we only need about 30% ground cover to adequately control that soil erosion. And with this data, it clearly shows even the 2X rate, we're still doing that. The general phytotoxicity and stunting in the top-sown wheat was similar when planted before and after MBOK application, and the stand reduction was more apparent when MBOK was applied after the wheat was top-sown. So apply the MBOK before the wheat is sown provides the lowest crop response, and we're able to go in and take out these horse weed early and then put our cover crop down for the remainder of the winter. The drilled wheat, again, same information, same slide, but you can see over all of our trials, our drilled pre-emerge versus our tillered, 2 to 3 tillered wheat, the pre-emerge applications of MBOK is much safer than the tillered. Again, our objectives were to see if we could keep enough wheat out there to keep the soil erosion and wind erosion from being a problem. We did stun our wheat at the higher rates, and the stand reduction on average was not bad across the board. However, you can see some outliers on the tillers that gets up anywhere from 40 to 60%. So drill wheat or rye, and the rye information came from Georgia, can be planted when MBOK is applied pre at a tenth of an ounce. A post-application of MBOK could be applied to control troublesome weeds in wheat or rye while leaving sufficient cover crop to prevent the soil erosion. As we know, MBOK continues to be a very versatile tool for the farmer, a very versatile molecule. We're still learning more about it every day. And we do appreciate the work between my Syngenta colleagues and the university colleagues out there to be able to expand the labels on MBOK. And with that, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for our speaker? Ken.
And the question is around ALS-resistant Palmer pigweed, and the slide there I showed was we did have some residual activity on Palmer, obviously not being ALS-resistant. And what we did do last year, Ken, and went in and took Palmer pigweed off the MBOK label for that very reason. Because, as you know, in West Tennessee, up in Arkansas, Missouri, everything's ALS-resistant. We can get some other areas south of us. We don't have that issue. But we've trained, and that's Keith Driggs out here, technical service rep, who talks with the sales guys, say, look, in these areas where we know we do not have ALS resistance, we can continue to use MBOK. But because of that very reason, we did take Palmer off the MBOK label. And because we, you know, there's no way to tell, but each farmer surely by now knows. You would think he knows he has ALS resistance in those fields. And I know not all of them do, but.
James, I have one quick question. Yes. So in 2008, if a grower put out a tenth of an ounce of MBOK in the fall, they can go back and plant STS soybeans this spring?
No, they cannot. That is not the way the label is interpreted. The label says if a cotton failure occurs, you can go back in and plant STS soybeans. Syngenta is diligently working on getting that label terminology changed.
Thank you. Any other questions? Let's thank our speaker.